You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government announced that its wage subsidy scheme would be extended by 2 weeks yesterday. The scheme is forecast to cost about $510 million and cover 470,000 jobs. Businesses must apply for the scheme by the end of this week. In regards to the wage subsidy scheme, I was particularly interested in the legality of the scheme and how it has impacted the employer and employee relationship during the COVID-19 pandemic. I wanted to know how it sits alongside employment law and what obligations employers have to their employees under the wage subsidy scheme. I spoke to Barnaby Locke, who is an associate of Dundas Street Employment Lawyers, about this, and he explains it really well. I begin by asking him to explain how the wage subsidy scheme in general fits into employment law in New Zealand.
Sure. So effectively, the wage subsidy is a scheme that was introduced by the Ministry of Social Development to provide support to employers and employees, as most people know. However, there haven't been any changes to employment law per se. So the Employment Relations Act, which is the principal act governing employment law in New Zealand, hasn't changed. So what that means is that those obligations for employers and employees under the Act, they have not changed just because the wage subsidy has been introduced. The wage subsidy does have obligations that are associated with it, but those obligations are obligations in order to receive the wage subsidy. So if you do breach those obligations, then rather than breaching employment law, what you've breached is the wage subsidy scheme itself, and therefore you might be required as an employer to repay the wage subsidy to the government, to the Ministry of Social Development. So it's an interesting point in that it doesn't create a new law, and something that we saw during the first lockdown when the wage subsidy was introduced was that, people thought that all of a sudden employment law had changed, and many, me included, employment lawyers had to come out and say, no, nothing's changed with employment obligations. Employers still have to pay you the amount that they are contractually obliged to pay you unless you agree otherwise. So that's kind of how it fits in. It doesn't change employment law. And this is a scheme where employers have obligations to the government, to the Ministry of Social Development.
Do you think there was a particular reason why people might have been confused as to whether the scheme changed employment law?
Yeah, I do. I think it's all to do with how quickly the scheme was put in place. And, I'm sure people will appreciate that, things were moving quite quickly. There had to be some sort of economic response at the time to essentially people being required to stay home, especially for service and hospitality workers. Obviously that puts those businesses in a difficult position. So it was a scheme that was introduced very quickly, and what we saw was that the guidance and the obligations associated with the scheme changed over time as, I guess, the Ministry for Business, Innovation and Employment, who was the agency responsible for developing the advice around the scheme, they would have got feedback as to, well, this isn't entirely clear. And I think one of the key obligations associated with the subsidy is an obligation on employers to pay at least 80% of an employee's usual wages. And I think what that conveyed to some people, mistakenly, is that all of a sudden you could reduce wages to 80%. But in fact, you couldn't do that unilaterally as an employee. You still had to seek an employee's agreement to reduce wages by any amount, or hours, or whatever, changes, fundamental changes an employer was making to an employee's employment contract.
So was that 80% issue something that was a problem for employees and employers, where employees were getting paid less than the scheme intended them to be paid?
I mean, I think it was an interesting obligation. I mean, I think it's an important distinction to make between the obligations under the scheme and the obligations in employment law. So the obligations under the scheme that you have to make best endeavours to pay 80% of an employee's usual wages. So if you don't make best endeavours to do that, then you might not be entitled to the scheme, or you might have to repay it to the Ministry of Social Development if they audit you and find out that you didn't actually make best endeavours to pay that amount. However, that doesn't mean that you can just reduce wages to 80% without agreeing with the employee first, because of those overarching employment obligations that we've discussed that continue to exist. So I think whilst that obligation is important so that it creates some sort of criteria or obligations on the employer, I think part of the misunderstanding that resulted was because it wasn't clear on employers that employment law wasn't changing, because not everyone is an employment lawyer. Not everyone, is aware of how these things fit together. And if you're getting a message from the government that this is your obligation, then you might just believe, well, that is now my legal obligation. So what we saw was that, the advice that then came out was that, just to be clear, employment law hasn't changed. You still have to seek employees' agreement. But that was a little bit later, after the scheme had already been introduced. So that's, I think, where some of that confusion came from.
Now, this is sort of slightly taking a little tangent, but you said not everybody's an employment lawyer. Do you think that there is an issue with there being a lack of understanding around employment law and employment contracts with employers and employees in New Zealand?
I mean, I would definitely say that in order to understand employment obligations, more often than not, you do have to seek advice. It's not entirely clear. We have a lot of obligations under the Employment Relations Act, for instance, the overarching obligation of good faith, which isn't straightforward. It does require legal advice in most cases to understand how that can happen. So I think there are issues with the understanding of employment law for both employers and employees. There are, as many people will know, a lot of pitfalls in carrying out disciplinary obligations, or disciplinary processes rather. And for employees, what we saw during the lockdown was that people just didn't know that their wages couldn't be reduced to 80% without their agreement. So many people were coming to us and saying, my employer has just reduced my wages and I didn't agree to that. What can I do? So I think there is a lack of understanding, and it's a question of how we educate people in those, in their rights, but also with employers to educate them with, look, this is best practice and this will, serve their relationship better. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, all businesses and employers and employees want a productive working relationship. And I think what that's about is actually both parties, working together and understanding what their mutual obligations are to each other.
Now, going back to the wage subsidy has been extended. It was announced yesterday. Do you think that issues regarding wage subsidy and confusion over how much people can be paid and what their contractual obligations are and what the scheme's obligations are going to be something that continues now? Or do you think there is enough information out there now and the mistakes have been made in the past lockdown that we won't see as many issues this time around?
Well, firstly, so far I haven't received the same amount of queries that we did last time, where it was almost overwhelming the number of queries that we were receiving just because it wasn't clear. So I think, firstly, there is an understanding which was developed last time when the wage subsidy was originally announced. So I think because it has been in place now since March or April, whenever it was first introduced, there is a general understanding of the fact that employment law continues. But having looked at the actual website again today, just to see the criteria, they still don't make it clear that you can't just reduce wages to 80% without the employee's agreement. So I think if you were just reading that website, you might think that. I think it's understandable that someone might think, oh, okay, my employer only has to pay me 80%, and it doesn't matter if I agree or not. So I think really up front what should be said is that your employment obligations continue. Yes, you can reduce wages to 80%, but the employee has to agree. I think that is quite a key part of the obligations, which we just haven't seen being communicated to employees as well as it should have.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.